commitment again, and it's now 4 months later than our original interview. And okay, we now want to get back to the University of Wisconsin. So fill us in on what happened when you came here.
We came here first in the spring of 1963, visiting, so that the department could get to know Red and decide whether they wanted to invite him here, and we could decide whether we wanted to pull up our roots in South Hadley and come here. And it was a marvelous 4 months. They found us Professor Zingali's home on the south shores of Lake Monona to live in while we were here. And for Red, this was great because it was close to campus. For me, it was great because I'm a painter, and I could sit there all winter long in Santo's studio and paint Lake Monona and the skyline of Madison.
And did you?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
And we met a great many people in the department. We thought everyone was very friendly. There were a lot of parties in those days, sort of large department parties, really.
I guess the Lantmans were not there at that year. We were in Washington.
I don't remember.
I think
you were in Washington that year.
Because I don't remember these parties that you talk about, but people did party you and
yes,
try to get to know you both.
Yes, they did, and we had some parties in Santo's house, and of course we entertained the students.
I would have remembered that.
You would have remembered that, because
yeah.
It's such a lovely place down by the lake there.
Yeah.
And so towards the end of that time, Red finally agreed to accept the invitation to come here. But before we had left Mount Holyoke that Christmas, he had already agreed to go for the Harvard Development Advisory Service to Indonesia for a year and a half to help them start their Economic Research Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Ed saying, well, that's all right. If Harvard pays for it instead of Wisconsin, that's fine. You're still getting more information about Southeast Asia, which is what we want you for.
Yeah. Well, so in fact, you didn't actually arrive in Madison.
No, we went off for a year and a half, and we arrived in Madison in December of 1964.
Oh, that was a cold time to
that
arrive.
That was a
after
cold
Indonesia.
Time to arrive after Indonesia.
Yeah.
We'll never forget it. It was quite an adjustment, and we spent 6 weeks in the Claridge Apartments, which no longer exist, waiting to go into Dick Hartshorn's house on Topping Road.
That's where you lived.
And they were off for that semester somewhere, and so we had the use of the Hartshorn's house. And it was while we were there that we found our present house at the top of the hill.
It's been a wonderful house for
And it's
you.
Been a wonderful house
yeah.
for us. And so we settled into life in Madison, and we in those days we found everybody very friendly. It was really...
There were lots of departmental get-togethers.
And not only
years.
The department, but there were neighborhood parties. I think people just entertained more. It was a happier time in the country.
I don't quite understand that myself.
Yeah, our neighbors on Topping Road, we'd take turns having just neighborhood parties.
Yeah.
And people were coming and going all the time.
But did you do a lot of entertaining of economics people?
Oh, yes.
Early on?
Early on,
Well, I think that was a special time in the life of the department. I can't remember just how big the department was at that time.
Well, Red, how big it was then, I really don't remember either. About 60, would you guess?
Well, it could have been.
And how big is it now?
Oh, GK. it was larger, and I think it's back to being somewhat smaller now, but what the exact numbers are,
I don't think it was at its peak then. I think it was building up still.
I have a sense that it's fewer people just because there is certainly a lot less entertaining going on.
Much less. Because I can't judge because being alone here, I'm not included in things the way... It's just too difficult.
Not a great deal. Well, it's nobody
just,
is.
But entertaining. Nobody's entertaining much anyway,
no,
I don't feel left out at all. I just know that people aren't entertaining.
Did you feel an obligation to entertain?
Well, not so. Well, Red was the kind of person who instinctively did it. His parents had been very hospitable people.
Yeah.
He'd grown up all his life entertaining friends.
Yeah.
And at Mount Holyoke, we had entertained a great deal because everyone did.
So you were both. Very
and not
oriented.
Not having children, I wasn't tied down by children, and I wasn't working. Painting, while it's very demanding, is something you do on your own time.
Sort of a lonely business.
Well, yes, it can be very lonely, but I didn't have time to be lonely.
But I mean, you need that kind of solitude to
You need the solitude to paint.
Mm-hmm. Was Red writing books at this time, or articles?
He was writing articles more. Mm-hmm. His research was centered on Indonesia and Southeast mm-hmm. Asia.
Were his articles published in economics journals, or were they
economics? Well, various things. Asian journals uh-huh. more than strictly mm-hmm. economics things, because he was writing about Asia the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Was he going back and forth at that time at all?
Yes.
I mean, on short.
Yes, he made several short trips.
Uh huh. And did you?
I didn't go on the very short ones,
uh-huh.
but I went on all the long ones.
It was an expensive. Journey to make for one thing.
Oh, yes. No, even the Ford Foundation, even in those days, wouldn't pay for a wife to go for, a short trip.
Mm-hmm.
But the shortest trip that we had together was, apart from the long ones, we were back in Indonesia 63-64. That was that one before we were actually on the faculty here. But we were back there, we were in the Philippines together, 68-69, beginning of 70, for the Wisconsin program in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. But the summer of 66, we were out there for 3 months. That was the period at the end of the bloodbath, that things still hadn't calmed down in Indonesia. And we were some of the first, the Ford Foundation was not yet back there. And the American Embassy was playing very low profile. And we were some of the first Americans back in after the turmoil.
Because of your interest and knowledge about Indonesia, were you assisting Red in some intellectual or academic capacity?
Oh, well, I helped him with his manuscript.
You did?
I helped him with his manuscript.
Typing?
I typed all his manuscripts for them, and I edited them quite a
uh-huh.
bit, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that must have given you a lot of satisfaction because of your joint interest. It wasn't strictly a secretarial kind of a job, really, was it?
Not really.
Mm-hmm. Was there, in addition to your life with Red, were you also participating in the university women's life? Is it faculty wives and or interest groups or whatever that were?
I suppose because of my painting, I tended more to join the art groups in the city,
mm-hmm.
The Madison Art Guild and organizations like that. I was on the board of the Madison Art Center in the days when it was getting going.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did tend to do that more.
And was Red interested in?
Red was very much interested in art.
Yeah.
He was very supportive.
Was he interested in your going ahead with what you were doing?
Oh, yes. There was never any problem there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was never a frustrated housewife. We had a very happy relationship.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
And I enjoyed the entertaining and helping with meeting his friends. We joined Black Hawk Golf Club, partly because it was around the corner, so that we had somewhere to entertain people in a hurry. So
mm-hmm.
many people were coming through all the time. You know how
mm-hmm.
that is, a constant stream mm-hmm. of people from other universities in Washington
mm-hmm.
and abroad and everything else
mm-hmm.
when you're in the international field.
Mm-hmm.
And so, he'd call up at 3:00 and say, "I'm bringing some people for drinks, let's go over to the club."
Boy.
Black Hawk was a great help that way.
I should say.
And I
remember your entertaining a lot. People coming through a lot.
People were coming through all
you
the time.
You always included a lot of people.
People were coming through all the time, and he had a lot of contacts in Washington, and people were coming through from Washington constantly, and old friends were coming through constantly. So many of our friends were people who moved around a lot, because a lot of them were friends we had made overseas. And so it was a mobile community.
Yeah. Well, you did have a wonderful life together. It's too bad his life was cut short. And so, Kay, you have continued to live on at this house. And
I stayed on here partly because of Tony. When Red first died, Tony still had a year to go at Stout State.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't just pull the rug out from under him. And then while Tony was finishing, they came after me. Henry Hill came after me to work in the international studies programs. And so I became a program specialist and worked in international studies.
How long did you?
I was there for 3 years.
3 years. Mm-hmm.
And so while I was doing that, I just kept on the house here. At that time, I was thinking, by then I had sold our house at Mount Holyoke, but I had kept some of our land. We had a lot of land at one time. And I had thought I might go back and build a little place on the land that I still owned that was separate from the house itself and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought very seriously about that, and I was more or less on the point of doing this when I was offered a job in Vancouver, British Columbia, as the executive officer of the World Federation for Mental Health. And because I had grown up in Vancouver, it was a chance to find out whether I wanted to go back to Canada in my old age or not. And so I moved to Vancouver, thinking I'd be there for about 4 years. The World Federation is an NGO of the United Nations, and so the presidency changes every 4 years and moves to whatever country the president is living in, so I knew it was a 4-year assignment, which was fine. But I had health problems while I was out there, and so I had to give it up. Unfortunately, I hadn't sold the house here in Madison, so I came back here.
Mm-hmm.
And decided to retire. I was old enough by then to go on Social Security, and with the income I had from Red, I could manage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to retire and devote myself to painting really full time.
Mm-hmm. And, then
and so at that point, I had this house with a beautiful studio in it. And,
too hard to give up.
And at that time, it was not a good time to sell a house. It was a very
right.
poor time to sell a house. So I kind of stayed on.
Yeah. And you're not sorry.
And so now, I finally sold my remaining land in South Hadley because the taxes were going up rather considerably. And so I stayed on here. And Wisconsin grows on you.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Wisconsin grows on you. My friends in New England say, what's Wisconsin got that New England hasn't got? Don't you love us anymore? And I say, well, Wisconsin's got great people. It's got a great university. It's got a great economics department. And it's got a places crawling with artists.
A very special term, all of that.
And Madison is a very special place. It grows on you.
Well, you've had a really interesting and productive life before and with Red and now after Red, and I think you've just enjoyed being here with your friends and continuing your painting, and I envy you.
Well, I keep wondering whether I'm doing the right thing, whether I shouldn't be more concerned with the community. I'm on far too many art organization boards just because of a sense of guilt that I don't devote
myself.
But it is useful and it is related to what I'm doing.
Isn't it time to toss out all that guilt anyway at our stage?
Well, now that I've made 70, but I don't know, we'll see. I keep wondering whether I will stay in Madison forever or where I will go.
Okay, were you ever a member of the Faculty Wives group, actually, on campus?
No, I wasn't. This may have been because we were away so much. You know, we were out of the country a great deal. Because
mm-hmm.
part of the arrangement with Red's invitation to come here
mm-hmm.
was that he would spend time in Southeast Asia so as to keep well abreast of what was going on
mm-hmm.
out there. And so it may have been that I was away too much, or we were away too much.
And you're somehow off.
And then I was so
involved. Mailing list at this point?
I don't remember ever being on the mailing list. Perhaps I was in the beginning, but I certainly am not now.
You might have been too busy and overlooked it in those years. And
well, that could
now
be.
Now it seems to me that they ought to still be sending you notices
not.
Of faculty wives doing.
They're not. And even the economics department, when Red died, I went off their list.
That's good.
And one day Fran Culbertson was here, and I forget how it came up, but anyway, I said, well, no, I wasn't on any invitation list for the economics department. And I always felt rather badly about that because of a place like Mount Holyoke. Once a wife, always a wife, and invited to everything. But of course, Mount Holyoke's a much smaller place, and so I assumed that because Wisconsin was so big, this was not possible. And she said, oh, well, of course you should be on that list. Mm-hmm. And so Fran Culbertson spoke to whoever it was at the time and had my name put on the list. And then when Jerry Summers died, Rita Summers was put on the list also.
Yeah.
But that was Fran Culbertson's doing.
Well, good for her. But it also could stem from the fact that there really is no departmental event anymore
such.
I mean,
it's too big.
I think
it's too big.
When Ralph Andriano was chairman, he did have a brunch, but it seems to me you were there.
Yeah.
So you were included by that time.
One or two other attempts at holding large things that occasionally people still do, I had been invited to those.
Yeah. Well, I have found, as you have too probably, that the department is now so
compartmentalized
that the young people either get together or by interest, by subject, or whatever that occurs.
And the older members who were Red's contemporaries, so to speak, still include me sometimes in larger things.
Yeah, of course, some are retired. Right?
And some are retired now, and some are here and some aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that today, living today is just so different.
Yes.
You know, people just don't entertain the way we used to when Red and I first came here.
Well, that's hard on, maybe it's hard on widows.
It does make it harder on widows because you're not included in things. And I'm just grateful for my art friends because most of the friends whom I see regularly are my art friends.
Yeah. And do they do evening functions where you're included with the men?
Really.
I think it's a very coupley world still.
It's a very coupley world still. No, I see very few men.
Well, you
and I miss the mental stimulus of masculine companionship, of course.
I'm sure that's a common complaint, really, with
widows. Yeah, it happens. It happens to most widows. Yeah. But I'm too busy to worry about it.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful, Kay. I appreciate this interview. I think this makes a very interesting interview for the archives. I'm happy to include it. So, thanks again, Kay Hawkins.
It's been fun.